We are the 1, 2, 3
Sore Losers!
What up, everybody? I am Lunchbox. I know the most about sports, so I'll give you the sports facts, my sports opinions, because I'm pretty much a sports genius.
Just banging the drum. Hey, what's up, everybody? I am Eddie, and I know the least about sports, but I'm your average sports fan, your sports watcher. Don't know the who's, don't know the what's.
Hey, y'all. It is Sizzin. I'm from the north. I'm an alpha male. I live in the west side with Baser, and if the audio is not perfect today, from the bottom of my heart, I am truly sorry. We're in a side studio, and when I like to have the audio perfect, it is very difficult in here because I don't know all the exact dials, but I've learned them as much as I need to. I am a nerd. Audio.
Hey, do that thing where you talk about how many countries we're on.
And from Abu Dhabi to Sri Lanka to Costa Rica, over to New York and Shanghai. We are the Sore Losers Podcast, broadcast on the Sore Losers Podcast Network.
Should guys, you can tell it was a long weekend.
We should start over.
No, we're not starting over.
Okay.
We're not starting over. Eddie.
What?
Dude, when you played with Spieth, how did he play 18?
Boys, it's crazy, man.
Like, tell me.
It's crazy that when you see someone on, what was it, Tuesday, and they don't miss. Like, every shot was perfect. Every putt was draining. And then you watch him on Sunday, and he couldn't hit the ball straight. He couldn't make a single putt. I'm like, how does that – boys, it's got to be fatigue, right?
Chili dip.
It's got
to
be fatigue.
It has to be exhaustion. I mean, there's a lot of –
because you think about it, boys, like – on Thursdays, when I gamble on golf, I like to watch Thursday morning sometimes. You know, I leave it on during the PGA Tour Live.
Whoa, you say you leave it on during a big show.
Sometimes it's streaming, you know, and I'm like, this is cool. It's early morning Thursday. And just when you watch Thursday through Sunday, you're like, gosh, that's been a lot of golf. These guys got there on Monday, played a pro-am on Tuesday.
It's a job.
Yes, and they went straight from the PGA
Championship. They played practice rounds on Wednesday.
Right, they went straight from the PGA Championship, you know, which is the major. So you're stressed out. It's high level. And then you fly across the country, even though most of them, the big stars, fly private. They fly private. But then you get right back out there, and you got to go right. Eddie, how many rounds of golf did you play this weekend?
Two.
Back-to-back days, right?
Yes.
How are you feeling afterwards?
I'm terrible. I can barely walk right now.
I played 3 days in a row with my boys, and we drove carts. We didn't walk.
Your sons?
No. When my boys were in town a couple weekends ago, we played
Garrett, Forrest, and Greg.
Greg, and Jacob.
Yep.
We played 3 days in a row in a golf cart, not walking the course. And, dude, it took me three days to recover. These guys are playing 4 days in a row, high stress level, millions of dollars on the line, and it comes to Sunday, and it just...
I don't think my whole perspective on high stress level, I don't think it exists the way we think it does.
Because you said Jordan. No, he said he gets nervous.
He said he gets nervous, but you got to think when you play that much golf, boys, a round is a round. Like, yes, I get it. This putt's worth $1 million. Maybe the putt's stressful, but when you're playing a round, you're just hitting. You played it five times already. So what's the difference on Sunday? Just play it like you've been playing it.
But
I don't think it's high stress level on Saturdays and Sundays. I think it's just another round, and you're doing good,
Thursday,
you're doing good, you're not.
I don't think on Thursday or Friday it's high stress level. If you're close to making the cut, like if you're right on that line, then it gets stressful a little bit on Friday.
But then, Coach, what do you do right after you lose on Sunday? When Jordan lost on Sunday, what did he do on Monday?
Probably flew to the next tournament.
Exactly. And it's the same thing again. So you think it's high stress level when you know whether you make this putt or miss it.
I'm trying to understand the theme of this. Are we questioning and wondering why Jordan Spieth lost it, why he was winning, and then he lost it all?
He struggled all day Sunday.
Yeah, Saturday. He didn't play
good
Saturday.
He was like plus two or plus three on Sunday. I don't know what the final was, but he was smooth sailing most of the tournament, and then Sunday he just couldn't get it going. But I'm going to be honest with you. I was glad he lost.
Why?
Because for Jordan, for Jordan Spieth, it was just another win, another $1 million, no big deal.
Yes,
this guy Jason Kokorvic,
cork crack,
whatever.
I don't think it's cork crack,
cooker crack. He
cracker jet.
What his win was life changing. It was life changing for
him. He's been the top a little bit.
He's been in the top a lot. Coach.
No, that is only his second win.
I didn't say wins. I say he hovers around the top.
I bet he's been top five in the last five.
He's a good first round top tenner guy. He's always up there.
I always see his name because I've always wondered, how do you say his name?
You see Cockrock up there?
And I still don't know how to say his name. But that's what we're getting to. Eddie obviously had the Spieth bet.
Yes.
Right?
I lost so much that's money. I lost $100 this week.
Okay, so that's why we're really talking about this.
I was up 100 going into the tournament. I lost it all.
You bet 100 on him to win it all?
Little bets. I would do hole by hole bets. I'm like, come on, man. I watched him hit 11. Definitely he's going to birdie this. He'd par it. Great. I lose that bet. It's just all weekend, slowly lost $5 bets. Next thing you know, I lost 100.
Yeah.
Five does add up. So you lost 20 of them.
But what, you don't understand what I'm saying by it's life changing?
For him. But what I'm saying is now that he's already won two, again, guys, what I learned by hanging out with these guys is this is like us going to work every single day. And are you stressed out when you have a show, a radio bit to do? No, you just do it. Did it go well? Yeah. Did it go bad? Yeah, I kind of screwed that one up. Guess what? You do it again the next day. It's not a big deal.
Well, and also it is a job, though. What we're learning, I get they live a very charmed life. But if you really think about it, Eddie said on that Wednesday, before he played with you Jokers, they played a round before that.
Yes, yes.
So it is a job. Yes, they're swinging sticks. They're out there jerking. I don't know what they're doing, chili dipping. But if you think about it, they work way more than 40 hours a week.
They do. And Michael told me specifically. Oh, dude, did I tell you what Michael told me about?
I mean, you told us everything. Did you leave something out?
Well, Michael goes, I was like, dude, so what are you going to do tonight? He's like, as soon as we're done here, man, I'm going to hit the couch. Well, you know, he's like, I don't know. Jordan, he's a grinder. Sometimes he stays about 4 or 5 hours after a round just grinding. And I'm like, well, what do you do? I have to sit there and just watch him, you know, just like moral support. And then after we're done, I hit the couch, like just nothing but like lay low. He's like, there are other guys. And he mentioned like,
you told us this, but I want to hear it again.
He mentioned 4 or 5 golfers.
Can you name two?
Yeah. Phil and Ricky. He said there are other golfers that literally after their round is done, they just go home. And Jordan stays at least 4 hours.
You
want to
name
the
other ones?
I don't remember the other ones. But the two that I remember was Phil and Ricky. He's just like, there were golfers like Phil and Ricky that literally when they're done, they're done.
Love it. I want to be a caddy for Ricky.
So then you start thinking like, well, I don't know.
I'd rather be a caddy for Phil because he has a lot of money and wins.
Ricky's caddy is not making a lot of money.
He's not making any money because Ricky doesn't make any money.
But speaking of money, I mean, Jordan gets second, right? You got second?
Yeah.
The second at Colonial. Coach, that is $1 million.
Right.
I mean, the whole
caddy
purse,
probably
the whole purse was $7 million. And that's broken down by what? The top 20, everyone that makes the cut gets paid.
Yes.
So, I mean, second place, Michael and Jordan are getting paid good money. High stress level? I don't think so, boys.
Tell me this.
But for Jordan, it's not. I'm talking about the fringe guys that you never see that get that one crack.
Yes.
That's when it's stressful. Like this Korak guy, he's made
Cop crack.
Whatever the hell his name is, over his career, but he's been a fringe guy for a long time.
Yeah, a wins badass.
And so he's been on the tour like 10, 11 years, and this is only his second win. That's amazing.
But that's what you root for?
When it's
you root for the no-namers?
No.
Not Jordan from Texas playing in Fort Worth.
I truly loved watching that guy I've never heard of win on Sunday. Like, that was neat.
That means you're just hating on the good player.
No, he's being more of a hater than he is a rooter.
No, I'm not being a hater because
yes,
I was.
Yes, you are.
No. I was cheering for Jordan the whole time.
Until
it came down to Jordan and this guy that hasn't won very much.
Cockrock.
If it was Jordan versus Phil and Jordan versus, well, it ain't going to be Tiger. Jordan versus Patrick Reed.
Justin Thomas.
If it's a bunch of big names at the top, okay, cool. But if it's this one no-name guy that has a chance to change his life, I do cheer for that no-name guy. And I don't know why. And it's not hating on Jordan. It's not that I didn't want Jordan to do well. It's just I saw this guy and I'm like, I look him up and I'm like, man, he's been grinding for years. And yes, he's had top 10 finishes, but he doesn't win. And I was like, I want him to win.
I'll tell you what's got to be tough for him, though, is everyone there was cheering against him.
Yes, everybody.
Everyone.
Wanted Spieth?
Oh, yeah. And did you see that hole where he like missed, I don't know, he played it badly and he picked up his ball and threw it in the woods and everyone's like, ooh.
Spieth?
No, Cockrack.
Oh.
Cockrack. He was so mad he got his ball and threw it in the woods all pissed off and the whole crowd goes, ooh.
Is that a penalty?
No, because it's already
as
after
soon
the
hole. As you're done, you can
it's after the hole.
Do whatever you want with the ball.
Yeah, so Jordan Spieth won $817,000
I mean,
for second place.
Guys, guess who's not mad? Jordan. and Michael.
So tell me this. I wasn't really invested in the tournament. I did see that on Sunday Jordan fell apart. Was he was in control a majority of the tournament, right?
He was leading every day.
Yes.
Dang.
By one stroke.
But yeah, Corkrack was right there.
Was it cool seeing Michael, though, after you just hung out with him?
And it was cool.
I mean, it was cool to see Jordan, wasn't it?
It was cool telling my kids.
No,
like,
it was cooler to see Corkrack, you said.
Hey, well, yeah.
No, because he was just with them. He was just with Jordan. He wasn't with Corkrack.
You were rooting.
Hey, did Jimmy Walker make the cut?
No. No, he did not make the cut. Oh.
Yeah, I looked earlier.
Maverick
on.
McNeely, I mean,
he played good the first day.
Yeah, he
played good the first 3 days,
guys,
and then he kind of crapped it.
I believe Sore Losers Lock said that we should have put the podcast out the day before because all your predictions were pretty right.
But for the first three rounds.
But then they
yeah.
became wrong by the next day.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, we got to quit with that pre-recording.
Man, I lost a good opportunity yesterday, boys. Like, so yesterday I go to the golf course. I'm like, it's a nice day, right? And so I go out
there. It was 75.
It was nice. Nice sunny day, 75. I didn't do a tee time. I'm by myself.
The pool was crunk.
All those G-strings and thongs.
I wasn't even out there. I just went and got some coffee. You had to go through the lobby. It looked like it was a nice day.
Did you take the long way around the pool?
Coach, there was so much dental floss out there, you might as well call it Bell's Bluff Dental Association.
Well, let me tell you, there was a lot of cars on the road when I was driving back from North Carolina. It was just nothing but traffic. Bumper to bumper going through the mountains.
You didn't see any dental floss out there?
Didn't see any dental floss. I saw some people that could use some dental floss, but didn't see any dental floss.
Hey,
they had a surplus of it up down there in Knoxville. There wasn't a lot of people using the dental floss.
Come on, Coach.
Coach, maybe you should leave, though, a destination city on a Memorial Day weekend, maybe an hour that other people aren't leaving at the exact same hour.
I mean, I don't know when people are leaving.
Is 10 a.m. popular to leave?
No,
on that
we left
day.
In the afternoon. We left Brevard, North
no,
Carolina.
No, he likes to push it, man. He'll get here like an hour before the show the next
Absolutely.
Day.
Tell us about your golf, Coach. You off.
So I go, I'm like, don't no tee time, and I say, hey, can I walk 18 or whatever? Like, yeah, I'll pair you up with some guy or whatever. And I got a Dallas Cowboys golf bag, and I hate it because I have a cap too. But
you better been using that push cart.
If I don't, I have the push cart. Yeah, but if sometimes I like to wear the Dallas Cowboys cap, but I'm like, man, if I wear the cap, it's too much Dallas Cowboys.
It's a little overkill,
and it's such a conversation starter. The guy's gonna talk your head off.
Thank you. So I pull up to the tee box, and the guy's like, hey, you a Cowboys fan?
There we
go. We know what this round's gonna be like.
Yeah, Cowboys fan. Yeah. Are you from Texas?
Yeah.
Oh, what brought you to Nashville?
So you're a Jordan Spieth fan, I take it. And I was like, oh, man, this is it. Should I tell him?
No.
Like,
you got to tell him.
No.
Actually, you know what? You got to tell – you don't have a little clip that you got from the tournament like that shows you're a caddy?
No.
They didn't put something on your bag?
Cap. I should wear the cap.
You
now
should wear the cap every time. Like, oh, did you go? No,
I
wear
the
cap.
Face the situation of, do I go into just how deep I am and how cool I really am?
Yeah. It is your chance to just throw it all out.
Or you can
there.
Gloss over it and enjoy your damn Memorial Day and not talk to this fool.
You guys are right. That's exactly what
but
my brain was doing.
But it's a fine line. You don't know which way to go.
My brain was like, ooh, this is a great. I mean, he
you
just
are
opened
about
the
to
door.
Impress him to
no,
death.
You're about
you're
to pull
about to
your
press his pants off.
You're about to pull it out and just put it in his face. You have the chance. You really
you
have
really
the chance
do.
To. You have the
hey,
chance
not
to.
Not only am I a Jordan fan.
Yeah, let me tell you. Let me show you
who I was hanging with this week. Me and Jordan played a round together.
Here's my phone. Let me pull off the picture here. Coach, I couldn't do it.
Oh, my gosh.
I couldn't
you're
do
like,
it.
Well, actually, I'm
Ray,
of a-
and Ray, it was that. I'm like, do I want to have this be the conversation?
Sizzin, Coach. Call me Sizzin.
No, I'm not calling you Sizzin. I'm not calling you Raymundo.
Yeah, I can't.
So what'd you talk about with the guy since you didn't talk about
yeah,
your
so what'd you just
amazing
say? Yeah,
time caddying Coach, with Jordan Spieth?
With the Cowboys talk, what do you think we talked about? Dak Prescott?
Dak Prescott.
Hey,
Zeke.
Prescott going to be all right at the start of the season? What do I know? I guess. I know what you know, dude. I don't know, but that was it. We just little talk here and there.
I've had the situation recently, too, the last couple times I've been at the pool where it's, man, so what do you do? And then it's...
Oh, you lie, man. You lie.
Well, Coach, it's back and forth. If I've had a couple drinks, I tell the truth.
God.
If I haven't had a couple drinks, then I'm like, music, work on Music Row, music industry. Because I don't feel like talking about it. Who likes talking about their job when they're not at their job?
Nobody.
Well, it seems like everyone but us.
No,
exactly.
no one in insurance sales is like, hey, let me tell you about insurance sales. No.
Then Coach, why are they the ones that ask, what do you do?
Coach, if somebody has
because it's small talk. And it's something that gets, you know, a conversation started.
If somebody has a boring job, for whatever reason, if they're at the pool,
they
love talking
talk
about
it.
Coach, I have no idea why.
Exactly.
But we're above the clouds because we've realized you don't need to talk about your job to enjoy your life.
Well, here's
separate
the thing.
Work and pleasure.
They don't have exciting jobs, so they're looking for someone with an exciting job. And once you tell them you're on the radio, oh, my God, you guys have an amazing job.
But let me say
and
this.
And they want to talk all about it.
Guys, this is not even bragging. Let me just say this. So the last couple times I've beat around the bush. Music
Hopefully
music
there's
industry.
No bush.
Okay, Coach.
Bushing.
So what do you do for a living?
Work on Music Row, music industry.
Oh.
Songwriter?
I mean, that's very open.
I'm a producer. It's radio.
Oh, you produce albums?
Well, radio type stuff. Oh, and then that ends it. That ends it because I've said radio. I've said music. They really don't know what they, but I've kind of covered the genre. Okay? Guys, the last couple of times I've just went all out because I'm tired of beating around the bush. Okay. I'm tired of these guys trying to go for my
just
job.
Just go for it, man.
And then I'm tired of not being, I'm being a little modest. I'm like, I'm going to be cocky. Last couple people that have asked me, I'm like this. Bobby Bones Show, it's a radio morning show. It's honestly the biggest morning show in the country for country radio.
Coach, and it ends?
It actually ends the conversation because they're just like,
wow.
Holy crap. That, that's awesome.
Wow.
Coach, and then I don't have to beat around the bush. There's no question about it. Like, oh, so what do? They know. It's a morning thing. You turn on your radio, you're going to hear my show. That's the thing. So I've realized, guys, don't beat around the bush. Just throw it out there in their face like Eddie almost
did.
And
they like it when it's in their face.
Eddie, you should have just pulled your pants down, put it in his face, and said, this is what I was
Do I like Jordan?
Do I like Jordan Spieth? I just caddied for him 2 days
ago. Let me show you how much I like Jordan.
We hang out. Jordan and I hang out on the golf course. That's how much I cheer
for Jordan.
But
kids, if you're listening with your parents in the car right now, don't be that cocky. I have been a couple of the last times. There's better ways.
Because Eddie learned the hard way.
What?
Why I lie. Because when we played the round of golf.
I mean, Coach, I asked you probably 3 months ago why you lie, and I got the answer immediately, and now I understand it.
Because we were playing, and we get paired up with these two guys, and they ask us what we do. And I said, you know what, Eddie, you're right. I'm not going to lie anymore. And
you didn't, Coach.
This is a great topic because it affects us all.
I didn't lie.
Do you lie? Do you tell the truth?
And
here
so I told
go.
Him, we do a radio show. Oh, yeah, part of the Bobby Bones Show. And he goes, no way. I used to be in radio in Dallas.
Oh, here we go.
And
here
guess
go.
What?
Let me hear your funniest bit. Go.
No. Gosh. Then instead of going to his ball, he would come to my ball to talk more about the radio industry.
Oh, God.
And the entire front nine.
I say 18? I meant nine. So it's been nice playing with you,
Coach,
guys.
You hit the ball, right? And he already asked his question. Then you move on to the next shot.
And he asks another question. And another question. Like, great. Oh, my God.
Well, you're about to putt real quick. Time do you wake up in the morning?
So it's an early job, right?
Yeah, man. So, like, you know, what are your ratings like? Okay. Like, who comes up with the ideas for the segments? Okay.
Coach, I'd be getting a fake phone call at this
point. Oh, no. So then he talks about, I mean, he talked about how he did weather in Dallas. Like, he did the weather.
For news, too.
It doesn't
for
matter.
And then he goes, and I also did it for the news.
And
then I said, oh, really? And he goes, yeah, I really like the news, too. And I was like, you know, Eddie used to work for the news. So guess the back
goes,
nine.
You're kidding me. And that comes to me.
And he goes to Eddie for the back nine, and he discusses news
for
the
holes.
Whole nine holes. I was like, free at last. Free.
No. And then he started talking about kids, and I'm like, you know who's about to
he's
have a kid?
He's got But you know who's already had a lot of kids?
And he's,
did you say you've been to Austin? You know who's from Austin?
Oh,
that guy.
You say you want to go to Mexico? You know who's an expert on Mexican travel? Okay, that guy.
Okay.
And what? Oh, wait. You said you're from Dallas? You know who loves the Dallas Cowboys?
Okay,
this guy. Oh, my God.
Hey, what about doing the angle, though, of like being like, what do you do? And you tell them, like, the radio, whatever. Get out. That's crazy. It's actually not fun at all. Like, it's not. It's just
it sucks.
It's pretty boring.
Sometimes I go that angle.
You just total downer?
No. I tell them, I'm like, yes, it's the show's 5 hours, but we work many more hours than five a day.
Yeah.
I don't get out of work at 10:01. Because people will see me and say, well, so why are you not out of work at 10? Well, the show's over. We have other obligations do. No radio job is done at 10:01 unless it's your local guy, and his job's probably in jeopardy every day he goes to work.
So, Garrett, honestly. My buddy Garrett, always his little dig every time is, oh, man, rough 20-hour work week, huh? I'm like, dude, we work more than that. Like, like your math didn't even work because it's 5 days a week, 5 hours. So that's not even 20 hours. That's 25 hours. And he's like, oh, sorry. 25-hour work week. Oh, must be rough, dude. I work 12-hour days. I'm like, okay. Like, is it that? That's not what we work. He's like, sure. And every time I talk to him, he's like, man, you stressed out after that 25-hour work week. But I think I just found a compromise to how we can talk about our job.
Okay.
Hey, man, what are you doing? What do you do for a living? I do a podcast. Yeah. Sore Losers podcast. Three times a week.
Cool.
And that's your
living.
You're
not lying.
You're not lying.
Coach, then if you kind of explain it as that's your living, that'll blow them away.
They'll be like, you make that much money off a podcast?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. This podcast's huge, dude. We got 966 listeners.
How do you make that much money?
Well, I mean, we get listeners from all over. We're from Dubai to
Abu Dhabi, Sri Lanka.
I mean, that's how we get them. That's how it's done.
Wow.
Yeah, but you know what? I've wanted to start a podcast. Okay.
That's another one. That's the other issue you run into.
You know, that's great. Like, how many mics do you set up there?
Yeah, yeah. Like, what kind of mic do you use? The one in front of me?
The person that taught me that.
I damn know.
I got to give it to Billy. He taught me at a very young age. He's like, never talk about your job when you're not at your job. And it was the best advice I ever got.
That's good.
Because you do it a couple times.
So is Billy like a father figure to you?
Yes.
Yes, he is.
100%.
Dude, Billy has.
No, big brother.
Billy has the coolest jobs. I mean, there was times, I mean, he was doing. I mean, now he does almost like cameras inside stadiums and stuff, but he never talks work on the weekends. And it doesn't matter what you do. You never want to live that 7 days a week. That's why we started where you never talk about your job outside of work. And it's now gone to my life. My wife plays by those rules. My family plays by those rules. Rarely do we talk about work outside of work.
Yeah, the only work I talk about really is my dad and my brother, Batterth Box. They ask about the pod. That's it. Don't talk because I just don't want to talk about work. Like, it's just not.
But you guys talk sports anyway, so it's the same thing.
Right, but they just, oh, how was the pod? You know what I mean? Looking forward. I'm like, have you listened to it? My brother calls me, oh, I heard this, blah, 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 blah.
How many times did your dad say, like, Eddie's an idiot?
He
used to back, like, a lot back in the day.
He says, Eddie's out of his mind sometimes. Like, he'll tell you, Eddie's out of his mind. Like, I don't know how Eddie thinks that. And Eddie's an idiot. You know, it's sort of like your boy Jesus from Fort Worth.
The same thing.
But did you see on the Facebook page, he was like, this is the first time I'm actually excited to hear Eddie talk.
Well, yeah, because I was in Fort Worth.
No, he was talking about because he wanted to hear about the Jordan Spieth and the interaction you had.
That's pretty cool.
And people
said your stories were great.
Hey, good, man.
We got a lot of great feedback.
Coach, I knocked it before. I said good stories over under 1.5, and I said under.
Yeah. And
guys,
so,
that was a moment of my lifetime. Like,
but
I just,
you wouldn't have gotten those great experiences and stories if you hadn't have done kind of what you were frowned upon doing. You probably weren't supposed to talk to Spieth. You probably weren't supposed to talk to the caddy. Weren't you supposed to mind your
P's? I didn't know
the
rules, Coach. I didn't know the rules, so I'm like, if no one told me I couldn't do this, I'm just doing it.
Dude, you did some stuff I believe that was probably a little frowned upon, which I love. It led to some great stories.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So I posted a video on my TikTok of Jordan swinging, like one of his tee shots or whatever, and I put Jordan 3-wood, you know, whatever. And then, when you do that on TikTok, the golf experts come out. That's a wood. That's a driver right there. That's not a 3-wood. No, I think that's a 5-wood. No, that's definitely a hybrid.
Oh, my God.
It's like, shut up. Who cares?
And Lauren McDonald on the Facebook page. Eddie is personally my favorite personality. I get him and his deep ways. For real. By the way, I'd love a shout out. I just got elected to staff senate at Texas Tech University. So congratulations, and you're her favorite personality.
Wow.
She gets your deepness because she's deep, I guess.
Hey, remember the deep? Dude, we used to go deep. You guys made fun of me, so we don't go deep anymore. I'd go with deep thoughts about things, and you guys are like, oh, getting all weird and
deep. On this show?
Yes.
I mean, I thought that was a pretty – we just had a deep conversation.
Deep, deep moments. Guys, I'm a deep thinker.
I have another deep thing. You just said Facebook, and you mentioned Facebook multiple times within a couple sentences. Is Facebook now popular again, and Twitter is not as popular?
Oh, Twitter.
Twitter's gone.
Guys, Twitter – sometimes I open my Twitter, and there's dust on it. What is happening over there?
Yeah, there's nothing going on
Twitter. Twitter has really hit the cobwebs. I don't know.
And it sucks for you because you're dominant on Twitter.
Oh, this is my side. I love Twitter.
I mean, you dominate Twitter, Lunch. Too bad no one's on Twitter anymore.
No. I don't understand what you mean I dominate Twitter. I just post –
that's where you post the most.
No, I post on Instagram.
Not as much as Twitter.
Instagram or Instagram story, but I don't really...
Like on Twitter, even on the big show, if there's a topic we're talking about, you put your opinion on Twitter.
Yeah, I do. I put it up there, and it doesn't really get any traction anymore.
Because no one's on Twitter.
No one's on Twitter anymore. It's a gone thing.
That's what I was starting to realize.
But hey, we got an email. Dear Sore Losers, while I admit Eddie's stories about the tournament were interesting, Lunch did sound like a 15-year-old girl talking to her friend about a first date with the captain of the football team. What did he wear? Did he talk about me? Did you ask him about his shots?
Him.
That's so cool. Good thing Lunch wasn't there. He could have made a scene. Chris from Austin.
I thought about that. And I think one of the guys that was there with us is like, dude, what would Lunchbox do here? Like, when we were out there, you'd ask him like, oh, he would for sure be talking to everyone.
Who said that, Spieth?
No, our friend Tom.
Oh, man, I'd have been.
Because he was just like, dude, what would Lunchbox do like if he was here? And our friend Tom, which is crazy because he's like management. He works for the management company. And this dude, and I don't even know if he was supposed to be walking with us, but he walked with us for like almost 15 holes.
Love it.
And
why didn't he go the whole 18?
I think he had to go do something at the office.
Gotcha.
Or whatever. But
sorry, I asked.
Hey, but he's on conference calls, probably. I mean, far away from where he's not bothering anyone. But I'm like, dude, what life are you living right now? You're doing work. Like, your office right now is the golf course while Jordan Spieth is playing.
Great job right there.
I mean, dude, he was making business deals.
He might be the guy at the pool when you say, what do you do that it fascinates you and he enjoys talking about it?
For sure.
He lets you know.
He's the dude when people are like, oh, man, I just watched this. Oh, yeah, I helped put this person in that seat.
Wow.
That's why that person
See, and he would have better stories probably.
He would have some good insight, wouldn't he?
Well, no, I'm saying us. If somebody asked me, like, so what is this artist? Well, I mean, I see that artist through the lens of I'm not doing the interview. I never get to side talk any of the artists that come into the studio. I really don't even know any of them. I don't even meet any of them.
None of them even know my name.
No. So the questions you're asking me about these artists, I don't even know.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. What we know about them is how they represent themselves.
Right. But
they
he knows the real stuff.
They
the
turn
Tom
it
guy.
On when they walk in there. We don't see them at the grocery store. We don't see them and have interactions with them hanging out on a Friday night at Topgolf. So we don't really know. We know what they are when they turn it on to walk in there and talk to us for 5 minutes.
But and you don't even know the rumors. The Tom,
no, I don't either.
This guy we're talking about, he's so into the industry.
He knows all the gossip.
He knows all the dirt.
He yes. has interesting stuff you can actually talk about and vibe off of at the pool.
Now, Jordan Spieth on a pro-am, knowing there's at least 10 people around, is he on or is he normal?
I bet he's half.
Half.
A little bit of both.
I think he's
halfway house.
But like you said, he commented on like the Brooks Koepka and the
He probably
DeChambeau.
Wasn't supposed to. I bet he was advised not to comment
on stuff
like that.
I wonder if he was like, should I talk about this?
But it's interesting that he was just having real conversations. So I think he had real conversations because when you spend a few hours with someone, you're automatically going to have at least some kind of real conversation.
Yeah.
At some point.
But let's be real. Those guys are trained to be fake as crap.
Well, in interviews, they're coached to not say much. And that's why... Like, I don't know. Do you think they should be required to talk to the media?
There
like,
we go. Yeah, you know,
that is a great transition.
That's one hell of a segue.
Because.
Mazama Osaka. Or what's her name?
Naomi.
Oh, boy.
I said it wrong.
Oh,
I said it wrong.
She withdrew from the French Open.
Hey, can you believe that?
Because she said, listen, I've had depression since I won the U.S.
Osaka.
Open.
Osaka.
And I don't.
She won and she got depression?
Well, yes, because she doesn't like talking to – she's a very shy person. And she said, we're required to talk to the press.
Let's get her on the pod.
And she gets very – she gets nervous. It gives her anxiety.
We're not the press.
It gives her anxiety, and she doesn't feel comfortable doing it.
She comes out and says she's best represented by the Sore Losers podcast.
She does an interview with us.
She says,
quote, now they get me.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about.
But she said, like, it shouldn't be required. Like, why is this required?
Us.
She said she's not going to talk to the media. And everyone got pissed off. And she's like, look, guys – it's nothing against you. It's me. Like, I don't, it's a lot of pressure. I feel so much pressure going up in front of you guys because I'm not comfortable that it's taxing and it puts me in a bad place. So she withdrew from the tournament.
That was a lot.
Right. So my question is, I love that they are, it's love because they go up there and they say things, but then I'm all.
I love you too,
man. It's called love?
No, I love that they have to talk to the media because then you get some good sound bites and you hear what they're thinking. But then also I'm like, you're right. Maybe they shouldn't be forced to sit there with 52 cameras in their face because some people aren't very outgoing and they get social anxiety and it's very overwhelming for them.
I bet.
So it's a weird situation.
Kind of like when Tiger had to go in front of the cameras because he had an affair.
Yeah, like he shouldn't have to do that. That's just crazy.
He doesn't have to, though. He didn't have to, but that's your opportunity, Tiger. Like, everyone's got their thoughts about you. The whole world is watching saying, I believe this about Tiger. Now is your chance, and you have the ability right now to tell them what you want them to believe. That's it. And I think that's all the media is, but there are some sports. Cause
like football.
I did tell you, Jordan said that they don't have to talk to the golf channel.
And that was interesting.
Right? So they're not obligated to, but it seems like tennis is different.
Right.
So they have to talk.
They have to. Football has to talk. And Steph Curry even tweeted, like, he – quote retweeted her and said, it's a shame they don't protect their own. Like,
here's the thing. It's a double-edged sword.
Because need them in the press and you need media coverage so people will watch.
It's a double-edged sword because what people love about sports and athletes is the backstory. They don't, sure.
Oh, there's nothing I love more than a good backstory,
right?
Coach. I'm kidding.
But that's what
I like the pluses in my who was winning a game. Coach.
No, coach. But that's fine.
I love a
but
good
you have
inspiration.
To have story
you gotta
lines. Have
the.
To have
did
story
you
lines.
Know that
when
he
you
was
watching,
a foster kid?
When you were watching Spieth on Sunday, did you care about the storyline? Or did you care about
I cared
won?
More about his backstories about Michael and him than I did about how he was shooting.
Right, and you have to have storylines to have coverage to put it in the print on the internet, have articles so people can click on it and read about it.
But if you have, say, like it's Ray versus Lunchbox, right?
And tennis or soccer.
Say it's football, and you're the quarterback.
Or pickleball.
And you're the quarterback of your team, Lunch, and Ray, you're the quarterback of your team.
Thank you, Coach.
Now, Ray has major depression, and he does not want to talk to the media.
Should he have to talk in front of the cameras just like Lunch has
But
to?
Lunch loves the camera,
what
and
up?
He's
Look
a
at
superstar.
Me, guys! Hey, yo!
So is it fair for Ray, who's suffering from some mental disorder, who doesn't really want to be on camera because it makes him feel weird and not great, whatever. But Lunchbox is like, hey, we're just going to Super Bowl and have fun, all right? Like, I don't care who wins and whatever, blah, blah. But now Ray's not talking, so everyone's going to be like, I like Lunchbox more. Like, I'm a fan of Lunchbox. Screw Ray. So
he's
not
too good for the media.
He's too good for the media. Like, he chose not to talk to the media. Now we don't know anything about Ray. So it's a double-edged sword. Like, sure, give him the option to speak to the media or not, but it's going to sway people to like the person who's getting interviewed versus the one that's not.
Right. He also can make money off of that.
That's I was going to say. The person in the media, they're going to get more endorsement deals
because it shows
their personality, or they're going to lose endorsement deals because, they come off as a real jerk.
Right.
I mean, so the chick who bowed out has probably gotten some deals because she's decent looking. I mean, I'm married.
She's good.
Isn't she attractive?
Yeah, and she's good.
She's a great tennis player.
Right. She's one
amazing.
Of the best. No, she's really quick. I've watched her play before. Back when I was in the game about 4 months ago, she's fast. She can beat Serena. She can, and she's lightning quick. And I mean, I believe she's one of the faster ones on the court. But yes, she's got endorsement deals and stuff probably because of her media.
Yes, and I never really thought of it that way because I always thought, man, just get up there.
That was pretty deep.
No, it was deep because I always thought of it as like, dude, you're doing a job. Part of your job is to get up there and talk. Like, let's hear what you have to say. But some people have social. I never.
So here's what she said. She said, "I don't want to do interviews anymore." And then she was like, "Oh crap! This is getting the backlash is so bad. I got to drop out of this tournament."
Well, she said, "I think my message was, it's taking away from the tennis on the court, and so I'm going to withdraw, and I'm going to take some time away from the court to make myself better mentally, and I'm going to let you guys focus on the tennis because it's taking away from the other players."
That's smart.
There you go.
That's cool.
I mean, she couldn't have done it any better than that.
But that's ball. I mean, that.
But how did we get that message? Like what?
She tweeted, was speaking to the media.
No. She wrote. She no. She held it.
I mean, Coach, was it Morris code to get us the
message? How did we find that out?
She had a town hall
she
meeting.
Told someone.
Oh, so the media helped her get her message out.
Interesting.
She wrote it out and put a picture of it.
So
up on,
social media is okay. It's just the commercial media.
She doesn't like talking, so she wrote it on a piece. Like wrote it. Like typed it out. And just put a screenshot
so
of it on
what if she
online.
Does? What if she does press conferences where someone asks a question and then
and she just writes
it out and then holds it?
Now you're making
No, hopefully we learn something from this. Maybe other people feel bigger to do this now.
Yes,
but see, there are people like Kawhi Leonard. We don't want to see him talk anyway, right? Like, there's
because he has no personality.
There's nothing he can say that's going to make us be like, ooh.
But it
great
is funny
insight.
To hear him talk because
yeah, we're
then
make
you make
fun
of
him.
Exactly, and that's all we do is we make fun of him.
And he probably has major depression. He's like, they're going to make fun of me because there's one time I tried to laugh.
Yep. Or he has social anxiety. He doesn't like to be up in front of people.
Yeah.
People don't like public speaking.
They're great athletes. They're not great public speakers.
Right, that doesn't mean they like getting up in front of big audiences and talking and having a microphone shoved in their face.
I would imagine a lot of them don't like doing it, but that's how they make a majority of their money.
Who likes it, do you think?
LeBron.
LeBron loves it.
Okay. LeBron loves it.
So now he goes to these press conferences with his damn notebook of notes he's taking.
Russell Westbrook loves it.
Good one.
Let's see. Who else loves it?
I mean, like Chad Ochocinco, T.O.
Oh, they loved it.
They loved it. Nowadays, though, like who loves it? Gosh. Who else in the NBA loves it?
Well, I'm saying any sport.
Yeah, no, I'm just trying. I was just, I'm.
Like, I'm thinking football. Like, who?
I mean, now Giannis Antetokounmpo, he's been doing funny
stuff. He's been doing pretty good. Football, I don't think, I think Ben Roethlisberger loves it.
You think?
I think he likes everybody looking
at
him.
He looks like he might have some handcuffs on. They put him on the
Cam
TV
Newton?
Coach.
I think he likes
it. He likes
so
to show off he can show off his outfits.
Yeah.
Dang, that's tough.
You think Tom Brady likes it?
No, Tom Brady hates it.
It's so obvious of a double-edged sword that it is. It's cool
because
your family can then see you in your local hometown on the news because you're doing a press conference. You're going to get more endorsement deals. But then sometimes when stuff bad happens, then you're still going to have that same image, like you're good with talking with the press, even when you don't feel like talking to the press.
Right.
So you can be the person that's cold with the press, but it's going to affect you in other ways.
And it also is going to make for bad stories.
Yeah. Exactly.
We're not going to have any good ones anymore.
Yeah, Baker likes it.
Of course
Baker Mayfield loves it.
If they have a commercial, they like it.
Richard Sherman.
Aaron loves it. He likes talking.
Aaron Rodgers?
No.
God, he wouldn't say a word.
But I'm saying he loves it because he does all these TV commercials.
Yeah, but yeah. I seem like when he does interviews, it seems like he just does not want
to.
No,
he likes it because usually everybody's, you know, telling him how great he is. Oh, you're so good, Aaron. Oh, thank you, man. Tell me more. Oh, yeah, that was a great pass. I just improvised. It wasn't the coach's call. I made that call at the line of scrimmage.
A lot of these interviews are done after a double, two-a-day, after a game. Maybe they're a little tired. If they were just chilling, it's going to be a lot more relaxing and a lot better of an interview.
That's one thing I realized, too, is like I don't think we understand how long they've been there before
right,
they get
there. Right, they practice. They
got there so early. Like, what time do NFLs get there for a noon game?
Probably 8 a.m.
Yeah, 7, 8 a.m. That's a long day to be.
I mean, we're tailgating just that long.
Coach, you're not running the whole time.
You're not working out. You're not.
These dudes are exhausted. The last thing they want to do is talk to a reporter,
Coach,
and answer generic questions.
My wife, after an entire morning of tailgating and going to a Titans game, she's like, hey, I got $50 in a fund, and I want you to give it to a homeless person. Coach, I had to go put together a couple sentences.
Yeah, $50 fund. What fund?
She raised money on Facebook, and we were going to give it to a person that was having some tough times in their some trying times.
So who
life.
Did you give it to?
I found a guy.
What was his name? What was his backstory? That's the whole point. We
need the backstory.
So
what was his name? Where's he from?
My point
is, if you just give it to him, I had been drinking
for 7 hours.
Wait, so you were the homeless dude.
I had worked just as hard as the NFL players. My wife's like, hey, go over there and talk to this guy and see his good backstory. I'm like, I've been drinking for 7 hours. How am I supposed to be able to do this? We can't expect our athletes to put on good interviews.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I wasn't even ready to talk after that much partying, guys.
So you didn't get his name, is what you're saying?
I wasn't a good interviewer.
God. So you were at the Titans game, you said, and you were drinking?
Yeah.
Did you throw anything at the players?
That's a segue.
Did you? What the hell is wrong with these people?
Hey, this guy's good.
What the hell is wrong with the fans right now in the NBA? Like, what are you guys doing?
I heard the story about it being a dangerous weapon. Coach, I was walking out of Walmart with a 12-pack of dangerous weapons just the other day.
what did they throw, a beer?
Nah, bottled water at Kyrie Irving's head.
Oh.
Missed him, but then the other night, Washington game, somebody runs onto the court and got tackled.
Then we had popcorn on Westbrook.
Then you got people yelling. I mean,
guys, if you're going to run on some kind of court field, pick a field. Don't do a court.
Thank you.
That'll hurt.
Ow. I mean,
and some of these security guards do we have them on like workout plans?
I mean, this guy, it was a good tackle. Everybody was tweeting, hey, Washington football team, you might want to sign this guy. Looks like you found a new linebacker. Like, this is your dude. Like, they were all, because he put a pretty good tackle.
But
on
a lot of these security people
they're like 80.
They're not ready to tackle somebody. They're really not.
No.
Like the ones that are in suits, you know, at the end of the aisle.
I think they're
whatever.
Just there to make it be a nice organized.
I think they have a program with like the senior citizens.
Yeah, it's sure. They go to the retirement home, dude, and they bring them in on the bus.
Do you want to work?
They go to Carter Family Home down the road, and they bring them all in. Hey, guys, you know what I mean? This is going to be an outing. Oh, we're going to, just put on this yellow shirt, and you're just going to stand here.
Nothing ever happens. You'll be good. Just be courtside.
I remember we were doing something at the iHeart Festival in Vegas or whatever, and they're like, security call. All security members get together. We're having a meeting, Coach. I walked by it, and there wasn't anyone under 70.
Right, and it was 4 p.m., so they had the buffet later.
They're going to lay down the law.
But really, what the fuck are these people doing?
Whoa! What's wrong with you?
Dude.
I see this stuff, and
we're
I just
have to put an explicit thing on iTunes.
Yeah, we're family friendly until now.
I'm sorry. What, really?
Hey, is that what you do at home?
Do you think you're with Garrett?
Really?
Are you with Forrest?
But really, why do these people think they can do this crap?
They're drunk. What happens with people that are drunk? They always think they can do something they're not supposed to do.
See, and that's what I'm saying. Like, players would get fined if they go fight that guy, right?
Yes.
But why?
But now this guy can't watch an NBA game live ever.
How?
Yeah.
Just change his haircut. Okay. So he's banned, okay?
Yeah,
so
always wondered how they
enforce
the rules.
They can't.
His friend buys the ticket and he goes in. Like, he can't buy it on his credit card. Okay.
No, but every person at the door will always be showing his face in the press.
No, because
he did get fined, though, right?
He got arrested.
Oh, no fine?
I don't know. But I'm saying, like, if Kyrie went and whooped his ass.
He should have.
Why is Kyrie in trouble? Because the guy threw something at him.
Why is Kyrie in trouble?
Why? Well,
no, he's not in trouble. He's saying if he would have kicked
But Kyrie did go and step on the head of the Celtics leprechaun at midcourt.
Who cares? So you can throw stuff at him?
No. That's not throw stuff at him. But
you can yell, hey, you suck, you idiot. You know?
Right. No, I'm not saying they were equal. Quid pro quo, an eye for an eye. But I'm just saying he did step on an opposing team's logo. The opposing team's going to hate you a little bit more than they did if you
hadn't. And because Kyrie went to Boston and he was terrible and they sucked. And
then he criticized him and said, I'm coming back. Don't do all these comments again.
And so they throw – I mean, just grow up. Like Kevin Durant said, grow the F up. It's just – it's insane to me that these people are – that throw things and then the player can't do anything back. Like the guy that dumps popcorn on Westbrook. Why can't Westbrook punch that guy in the face? Why not?
Coach, you can't. It can't be wild, wild west over here. You can't be like, you shoot me, I shoot you. Hey, I mean, you got to.
We saw what happens when fans and players meet.
Can you imagine if you let them just go however they want?
That's what I'm saying. Why was
Malice
Steven
at the Palace? Who was it that like knocked down
Ron Artest?
Cold cocktail.
Steven Jackson.
I mean,
Jermaine O'Neal.
Okay, Jermaine O'Neal. What did we see?
Oh, because that dumbass guy. Hey, no, that dumbass guy. Let me tell you about that.
What did we see with the Malice at the Palace? The players will kill the fans.
Yes. Right. They'll
kill
them.
Don't ever fight a player. They'll whoop your ass.
They will whoop your ass. And that's what I'm saying. The guy tried to come up and he was going to sucker punch Jermaine O'Neal. He was going to punch him from behind. And Jermaine O'Neal just happened to turn around and this guy's eyes got big as damn saucers. And he's like, he's like, I'm down on the court.
In their environment,
and I'm going to sneak up on this guy that's probably 6'10", seven feet tall, and I'm going to punch him. And all of a sudden, Jermaine O'Neal turns around and sees the guy, and the guy, I mean, it was like Elsa in Frozen just made him stay there. Like, he just
let it go, let it go.
And he had nothing to do, and Jermaine O'Neal just, boom! And then Jermaine O'Neal gets suspended. Why?
Why does he
get suspended? That's so stupid.
But we have our answer now. I mean, that was back in the day. They've changed it now.
Right, like Dwight Howard, though. Dwight Howard.
But back in the day, you could definitely throw a bottle and not get fined or suspended.
Well, they can never find the person that threw the bottle.
The cameras are better now.
Now, Coach, they're only at 25%
capacity.
And
you see, a lot of the fans, though, they love to narc nowadays.
This guy.
He's the one that did it.
Those fans dime some people out real quick.
But there's also they're not at full capacity, right?
They're close.
Some places are. I don't know exactly which one
is
which.
That's what I'm saying. Right now is just not the time to throw anything.
It's never the time to throw anything. You're right. Here's my thing. Like the guy that runs on the court at the Washington game, he's right next to Dwight Howard. If Dwight Howard just cocks him right in the face.
But he can't do that because the guy's not doing anything. He's just running.
Bullshit!
What?
How do I know what you're down there to do?
You all right?
How do I know what you're coming on the court to do? You are in MySpace. I can punch you in nothing.
MySpace.
I thought that died a long time ago. I know what you're saying. But why are you down on the hardwood? Sorry, Dwight Howard, you have free reign to knock that dude out. Boom. Knock him out. Send a message.
Okay.
Do not come down onto our court.
So you're the commish. You got to set the rule right now.
Yes.
Okay? What are the rules?
If someone comes on the court, have at him.
Anyone.
Anybody.
That's part of the game. Ref, players, coaches, training staff.
Have at him.
If you're part of the game, you have free range to kick their ass.
Yes,
What if Awkwafina comes onto the court?
Who?
Fiji. Water. A water bottle. Can you go up into the stands as a player?
Yes.
Oh, but that's not your domain.
No, you threw something onto my domain.
So as soon as they throw the water bottle onto the court, anybody... player, coach, training staff, announcer, they can go up and kick their ass.
Yes.
Without repercussions.
Yes.
You're ridiculous.
Yes.
Well, I feel like they're trying to feel it out now where you got to make the penalties steep, but you got to keep the players on the court.
Safe.
Keep the fans in the stands.
Yes, you have to.
Honestly, if this happened once and...
it would never happen again.
And Dwight Howard went and kicked the guy's ass, no one would do it.
It would not happen again.
But, I mean, we are... we're fine in America. Like, there's just some small little penalties. Like, maybe what did they do? They told the fan he can never come to a game.
No, he got arrested and he got charged with.
So maybe that stops some people, thwarts it, future. A little bit. Because,
like, streakers, they run on the field and they get a $200 fine.
Let's think about overseas.
No, that's not.
There's no laws. Flares, coach.
There's no laws.
Yeah. Hey, I'm all right with a little Awkwafina coming. Thank God it didn't hit anybody.
I told you guys,
I
went to a soccer game in Mexico City, and they were throwing water bottles full of piss And the guy I was with goes, oh, yeah, there's piss in that. That's the thing. That's what they do. So if you see a water bottle and there's liquid flying out of it, that ain't water.
But, yeah, if we don't – that's what I'm saying. If we don't stop it, it just escalates.
Right, but so, there's no need to call for the National Guard. I mean, it was just a little bit of popcorn. I mean, that can be solved. There was an Aquafina.
But what I'm saying is charge him with assault. Like, don't just say you're not –
I think he got charged.
The popcorn guy?
You get arrested, right?
I don't know what the popcorn guy got. I don't know about that one. I know but the water bottle guy got arrested. But my thing is, you say they're banned for...
He got assault with a dangerous butter.
That's a slippery slope, man.
Hey!
Oh, man. I don't understand when I see these highlights.
You better not do that again.
You better... You got to be better than that.
You know who the judge was? Honorable Orville Redenbacher.
You messed that up so bad. We screwed that up so bad.
All right, we should keep going.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. I can't get over the fact that people think this is okay.
It's not okay, but it's not. Everyone's going to keep doing it.
We also just got back from the pandemic. People have a little bit more emotions than they did a year ago.
Right, they've had it.
Boys, are you guys going to the grocery store no mask?
Yeah.
It's crazy,
It feels so weird.
It's awesome.
You guys going to bed without a mask?
I put on the mask, it was my wife's panties.
it is so weird walking in the grocery store with no mask.
It's amazing.
Feels so weird. Like, I walk, I'm like, damn, I feel like I'm doing something wrong. And then there's people that are in masks, and when you don't have the mask on, I'm like, they're looking at me going, oh, what's this jackass's problem?
I'm still taking the mask in with me in my pocket, just in case.
Some of them still require.
Yes.
I want to say.
But just in case you go in and you're like, oh, crap, everyone's wearing a mask. I don't want to make anyone feel awkward.
I don't have my normal mask anymore. I got a disposable.
Coach, what is that, G-string?
Yeah, basically.
It's just a pair of panties.
So I got the disposable
Coach,
now.
I think that's broken.
Well, I just broke it right now. But this is what I carry in my pocket now. I don't have my normal one.
Just in case.
Just in case.
You guys may get offended by this.
What?
Because I mean,
I'm not going to get offended by something you say, right?
Somebody, people have gotten sick from COVID, you know?
Yeah.
But because it is transmissible through spit and stuff like that. Well, one of our friends, I thought it was funny, but that's just me personally. This person said,
hey, it's not the same one we talked about the other day.
No. Like, I never talk about this person. Okay. But this is an awesome person.
I'm
going
to get back
person.
To this person.
No. Oh, okay, love this person. Okay. But they said that the whole pandemic, they went online and they bought this mask that looks like it's a legit mask, but it's like you can breathe through it, you can spit through it and everything, but it looks like it's full on, but it's basically like see-through. But so the person boarded planes.
But what's the point of that?
Because you can breathe. The other ones are constricting.
You can breathe in everything else.
But
I can go run 5 miles in this damn thing and be fine.
Do it.
there's a couple of them that are not breathable at all, that are real bad.
Well, then why would you buy that?
I've never had a mask.
I've bought plenty of masks, and I can
breathe
plenty.
Well, I mean, you can breathe through it, but is it easier without it? That's my point. This person wore this thing, and they said the whole pandemic, they were just breathing just fine, boarding planes. They're like, oh, you're good to go. Come on in. But if you really looked at it, everything came through the thing. It wasn't a legit
mask.
That's
terrible.
But it was dark.
That's terrible, Coach. It's not good.
That's why I didn't name the person.
Hey, okay, good. You know, if you're still fly, you got to wear a mask.
Yes. I knew that.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, Coach, I was about to get freaking knocked out this weekend.
You should have no mask.
Hey.
Oh, don't worry, Coach.
Hey, mother.
All those places, they provide you with masks.
Okay.
Yeah, if you forgot one.
Yeah, and you can't. There's no alcohol on planes.
Saw that. This is it, boys. This is how it starts.
This is it. It's never coming back.
I don't know.
The days of us going to Vegas and them, you know, sneaking us little bottles of vodka.
When you drank on a plane, when you first did you ever feel a little naughty doing it?
No.
Coach,
I can't get on a plane without
Eddie. You ever feel naughty?
A little naughty.
Hey, the first time I did it,
right. You feel naughty right now.
Yes. The first time,
I wash my hair.
Dirty Ray.
The first time you drink on a plane, did it feel like you were doing something you weren't supposed to be?
No. The only time I feel weird is
when you light
when
up
I
a
pull
cigarette.
My pants down a little bit.
When I smoked a joint on a plane one time.
No. It's when it's 9 o'clock in the morning and I'm walking through the airport and the people have the 24-ounce beers. I'm like, now what the hell?
They're
like,
intense.
They're intense. I'm like, that is.
I think that's where they have a problem, Coach.
Yeah.
Like if
you
if
probably
I
should have given them.
If
a
I
hand.
Get on a plane and it's after, you know, it's lunchtime or later, not it's normal.
See, here's the thing though. Even if you go to a regular restaurant and somebody's got a big beer at that time, it's weird. But at an airport, sometimes you're like, that's weird.
acceptable. It's fine. It flies.
But acceptable.
Like, no pun intended.
It's
it flies.
Like, it's like all rules go out the window at an airport.
Hey, it's got wings.
It's like, hey, 9 a.m., no problem. Drinking a beer is not weird at an airport.
At an airport.
Why is that? It seems weird to me.
Anywhere else, though?
I'm not sure. Hey, I think Henry over there has got a problem.
Airport, though? Hey,
Henry,
not a problem.
Yeah,
he's on vacay.
Hey, Henry, want me to get you another one?
Maybe that's it. You assume they're on vacay. And if you're on vacay, drinking at 9 a.m., A-okay.
Yeah, if they got a Hawaiian shirt on, they're okay.
Right?
They're free to fly.
Because, Coach, how many times did we fly to Vegas or somewhere and it's early and we're like, screw it, let's just start going?
You're right.
That's why it's okay at an airport. I just figured it out.
But it just,
I think on my bachelor party, you wouldn't have known, Eddie. You weren't there. Okay. I think Johan got us started at about 10:30.
Oh,
exactly.
Man. He iced us in the car.
That's the Smirnoff?
Oh, yeah.
Go, do you want to know how well one of those ices goes down at 10 a.m.?
Not good.
Not only that, he iced us.
Then we did a shot.
Wait. What is the ice? He tells you, like, he gives you one and says, ooh, you've been iced?
A Smirnoff, and you have to chug it.
Yeah, okay. You get busted. But
so what, you're 12? Like, how old are you?
But the problem is,
pretty much,
he bought them cold, but then he had them sitting in the car for so long, they were damn hot.
So thanks, Johan. Not a better way to start a bachelor.
So you got lukewarmed is what you got.
Yeah, we got lukewarm Smirnoff. All right, here we go.
Then get ready for it. Lukewarm shots.
Hey, lukewarm. Warm. Like, they were never cold.
Didn't he sneak in shots to the airplane?
Then he brings them on the airplane. It says no alcohol on the airplane.
And you hear the clinging of the bottle.
And I told him, I was like, dude, just keep it in your pocket, and when you get your drink, then pour it in there.
Lady comes up to
him. And then he is standing there with the whole bag. Hey, you want one? You want one? And she comes up, and she goes, give me the damn bag.
Johan loses the entire bag of shots.
And he's like,
the plane wasn't even in the air yet.
Yeah, yeah. No. And then he's like, don't worry, guys. I still got five. And he starts to pull them out of his bag up above.
Give me the bottles.
And she walks up. She goes, sir, like, you can either give me all of them and get them back at the end, or you can get kicked off the plane and get none of them.
Ooh.
And so
Which one did he choose?
He gave them to her.
Okay, good.
And I went up to go to the bathroom, and I was like, sorry, you know, it's her first time flying. He's never had alcohol before. I apologize. She's like, it's okay. There's a lot of idiots on planes. Uh-huh. That's what she told me. I was like, I was so embarrassed. So embarrassed at Ray's bachelor party. Now, shout out to the New Mexico teachers who survived this school year. It's our last week for both virtual and in-person learning. We're going to drink Slippery Nipples and hang up and listen. Hashtag Raymundo Rocks. And that is from Rosette Salazar in New Mexico.
Hey.
Thanks, ladies.
Yeah. So,
shout out to all those New Mexican teachers, man.
Yeah.
Legit.
All the Slippery Nipples.
Slippery Nipple it up.
Shout out to our Mexicans out there. No, Coach, they live in New Mexico.
New Mexico's.
New Mexican.
Oh, New Mexican.
Yeah.
New Mexico, I believe, part of the Four Corners. Don't quote me on that, though.
Last time you said that, you were wrong.
We usually screw them up, but it's four states, so I feel like I got a pretty good shot.
I think you might be right. Let's see.
New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado, and Arizona.
You said Arizona twice, so yeah, I'm going to say Arizona.
Utah, Arizona. Arizona.
What is it? Is it Colorado and Nevada?
It's not Colorado.
I have no idea.
It's not Colorado?
No, it is Colorado. New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado, Arizona.
And it's you said Arizona twice. What's the corner of?
It's all their corners.
All four states
mean in one area.
In one spot,
so you can take four steps and be in four different states. Yeah. And hey, our boy Jake Paul's back. He's got a new fight.
I saw that.
He's fighting Tyron.
Wait, Jake or the other guy?
Jake.
Okay.
The one that's like 3-0 that beat up Nate Robinson. But he's fighting. Listen, this dude's really smart. I'm going to hand it to him. Because he finds these UFC guys that aren't
Utah,
boxers.
Utah, Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado. Four corners.
So
go ahead.
Looks like he's fighting impressive people, but he's fighting non-boxers. So Woodley is a good MMA guy, but boxing-wise, he's not very good.
But he'll still get him. He should be the best one that he's faced.
He's probably the best one. He's the most athletic, I would bet. And he'll probably be in the best shape. Like, he'll be, you know, he won't come in like
the last guy wasn't in shape at all.
No, he was fat.
You are the one that made up that, told me that point. I've looked back at highlights of it. That guy wasn't in shape at all.
No.
How did we all get tricked on that?
He crawled out from under a bridge. No, but
But Lunch called it. Lunch said he was in terrible shape. Yeah, he obviously didn't even train for it.
Like, he was just there to get paid.
But the story is an experienced boxer versus a YouTuber.
But he's not.
But they're not really boxers. They're MMA. So MMA.
But he's a fighter.
But he's
a
fighter.
But if it was MMA, Jake Paul would get killed.
Yes.
And these guys are good wrestlers or good grapplers. They're not boxers.
So did you watch the fight even after the fact?
No.
Okay.
It doesn't
happen. But I just saw.
Oh, the MMA guy?
Well, he's fighting a new one, Woodley, who's the former UFC champion.
No, but I'm talking about the old one.
No, Askren, I saw a highlight, and I'm like, this dude is 300 pounds. Woodley will beat him.
Because it's hilarious watching these MMA fighters trying to box. You can't stop them from kicking. You can't stop them from throwing a, what do you call it, a hammer?
Like, right. I disagree with you. I thought McGregor and Mayweather was good.
They had to tell him like 30 times, you can't kick.
I thought that was
he kept trying to. He kept trying to hammer fist.
You can't.
Mayweather won.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was a good.
You can't. He's trying to get a takedown. Like, hey, you can't do that. He's boxing.
He flips him like, no. Like, no, I can't do that. But yeah.
He honestly tried to kick. He's like, dude, you can't.
Oh, man. And hey, what'd you guys do for Memorial Day before we go?
Sounds memorable, Eddie.
I remembered the fallen heroes.
Dude, I went to North Carolina. I was so excited, guys. Going to the lake.
Oh, the Carolinas that are north. No. Good to be here.
Going to go up in the mountains.
South?
What?
South Carolina?
No, North Carolina. Take your shirt off. Spin it like a helicopter. North Carolina, stand up. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
You don't know that
song? How's it going? Are you guys north or south of Carolina? And I'll hang up and listen. How's it going, sir?
So,
good morning.
I go, and we're at the lake. I'm ready to go swimming.
Did you fish?
I fished. Caught nothing.
Yeah, of course.
Never caught anything.
I don't think there's anything in that lake.
I never caught anything in that lake. Okay. So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go get in the water. Guys, the weather was 64 degrees the whole time.
And the water's 20 degrees.
The water was ice cold. Yeah. It was getting down to the 40s at night. There was no swimming. There was no swimming.
Did you play golf out there?
No, I didn't play golf. Oh. But we did do some kayaking.
Did the bear show up?
Didn't see the bear this time, but.
You need to lure him. You need to lure him by leaving like a turkey out there.
Oh, leave some meat out there on the driveway?
Yeah.
I needed the bear. That would have been a good show prep.
It was great because. It was relaxing and peaceful. And
just you and your family and none of the in-laws went?
No, the in-laws were there and my sister-in-law was there. So
Mom hit on you?
Not that I remember this time. Okay. None of that. But yeah. I almost got in a fight with an old man. Like a 75.
Here we go.
75-year-old
man. On the water?
Amen. Well, no, on the trail. There's a path.
Are you looking at my wife? Hooked your dukes up, mother. Gert.
Huh? Say that to my face, you old fart.
There's a path that goes around the entire lake, okay?
Oh, like a running trail.
Like a running trail. Oh. But it's technically the part, like the trail is still part of people's land, but everybody uses it for exercise, walking. It's kind of a thing.
Ladybird Lake.
You're allowed to go on the path. Like you go exercise, walk the dogs, people take their kids, you know, whatever. So I go for a run. And there's a car parked on the path outside this guy, you know, at this guy's house, and he's planting flowers in his little hillside.
Oh, that's cute.
Cool. So I'm running by his car.
Top of the morning. I love the rosebuds.
And old man.
Great day for blooming.
Old man Willie pops up, and he's pissed. And I don't know what he's pissed at, but he goes, get him, get him, get him, and tells his dog to attack me.
What the?
This story just went 0 to 100.
Okay, hey, now I'm listening.
And so the dog.
I thought we were talking about tulips.
Hey, this dog comes charging at me.
What kind of dog?
It's probably like a 50-pound dog. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It's a mutt. Like, it was a
big
mixture.
Big mutt.
Yeah.
Get over here, you motherfucking dog.
50-pound dog. And so I am like, do I kick the dog? What do I do? And what the hell is he telling him to attack me for?
Well,
And at first, I thought he was joking. But then he has his little garden shovel, and he's swinging it at me.
What? How close is he to you?
From me to that power strip.
Coach, that's arm's length.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I was like, what the?
You got a garden shovel, and I got this.
Oh,
yeah,
you killed Willie?
No, he goes, get him, get him, get him. And I'm like, what the hell is wrong with him?
You son of a...
Wait, so the dogs are coming from behind him?
Yeah, the dog is behind him.
Okay.
And it comes running and tries to get me. And I just take off. Like, I'm like, what the...
Coach, what'd you do to the old man?
I don't know.
Did you pickpocket him?
So I keep running, but there's only one problem.
It's one way.
I have to come back.
Dead end.
A dead end.
Wait, Coach. So he's saying, get him. Your arm length.
Yes,
but you run faster, like you're robbing a bank.
Like I'm you Usain Bolt,
yeah, okay,
dude. I'm like,
Bolt.
I'm like, gotta go.
So you're like, oh shit! If I stick around, I'm gonna get eaten.
I'm gonna get bitten by a dog, and I don't know what I did. I was so confused. I don't know if this dude's like senile, has dementia.
So
something.
Not once did you say, what are you? Why didn't do anything? Nope. You just ran like a criminal.
Just ran like a criminal.
Oh, great.
Ran. So I go and I run, and then it dead ends. I'm like, I gotta go back. That's the only way to get back to the house. So here I go. I go running, and I look. And I can hear that dog yapping as I'm coming. And I'm
he knows. He smells blood.
I'm like, uh-oh. but I notice it's locked up on the dock. So I'm like, good. And the old man's got his back to me. He's still planting something. I come running, and he hears me. He turns around. He goes, no, no, not ever again, damn it.
What the?
And I said, excuse me?
He Wait, said, did you stop running? You're still running?
Yeah, no, I stopped this time.
This time I'm going to get an answer.
Because there's no, the dog's locked up on the dock. Like, it can't get off.
So, and you can, he's an old man. You can take him out.
Yeah, old man. He's 75-year-old senile fool.
But he's got a shovel.
And he's got, yeah, but he's like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. Like, he's like bent over. And he, no, never again. I said, what the hell? And he goes, no, you can't come by here anymore. This is private damn property. You don't get your ass out of here. And I said, excuse me? He goes, yeah, you running through here. And I said, this is a path. Everybody does it. You know what I mean? Like, there's, and I said, so you yell by at everybody that walks by here. Some of them. I said, well, what the hell is your problem? Well,
are you, at this point, you guys are just talking like this to each other?
Kind of yelling.
And you're face to face.
No, he's like from me to that board, that white board.
So about 20 feet.
About 20 feet. And he goes, I don't give a damn. You're not allowed to come by here anymore. And I said, why?
He hung up and listened?
And he said.
Bleep.
He said, well, this isn't your property. I said, yeah, but everybody. And I said, your car's on this path. So my house is right down here. So if I tell you you can't come by, are you just going to leave your car on the path for the rest of your life?
So his car's on the path to stop people from going
through. No. His car was just there because he was unloading flowers because it's at the bottom of a big hill.
Oh, that's cool.
And so you can drive your car out on it if you need to drop supplies off at your dock or whatever.
Got it.
So I said, if I block off my backyard back over here and you can't get your car off the path, what the hell are you going to do then? And he goes, what? That doesn't make any damn sense.
So they're yelling at
each
other.
And I said, and he
debate.
Goes, he go, I said, dude, I was just out for a jog. He goes, yeah, you didn't even slow the fuck down. And I said,
Coach, this is your third curse word.
And I said, slow down. He goes, yeah, nothing was going to get in the way of your exercising, was it? I'm like, why would
I got a pace to keep up with.
Well, I was like, I was trying to do a 6-minute pace, man, 6:15 pace.
Apple Watch.
But I told him,
look at my map, my run app.
I said, why would I slow down? There was no one in my way. He goes, so disrespectful. Don't ever come back over here, damn it. Wow. And I was like, have a great day.
You got him with a have a great day.
Got him with that have a great day on the way out. Dude, I don't, and what's great is my father-in-law was in the kayak with my son.
Watching all this.
They were watching me run. They were following me along the path, just kind of showing my kid how I run. And so I told him, I said, hey, meet me over in that cove. That dude tried to have his dog attack me. And so he saw the whole thing.
Bill saw the whole thing.
He was just like, he goes, that dude's crazy, man. And then he talked to a neighbor, and he was like, yeah, we've had run-ins with that guy before.
Wait.
Coach, why didn't you say,
why don't you run and try and catch me, you old mother? Why don't you grab your daisies and stick them up your...
You could have got him with some better zaps at the very end.
Coach, it sounds like you were trying to be logical about the whole thing, but he wasn't.
Oh, man, he wasn't. Well, I had to be logical because my father-in-law is there, so I couldn't be too crazy.
Question. So Bill's in the kayak with your son.
Yeah.
Watching this go down, not once did Bill want to get your back and start fighting?
No, he didn't see the dog attack. He saw the second episode, the follow-up, and he was like, just let it go. And
he was
like,
saying that?
Yeah.
All a bunch of hot air, all right, to let it go.
And so then I mean,
you guys know how to manufacture your own fun on the lake.
Let it go, guys.
So I rolled back to the house, and I was like, man, I guess I'm going to see that old man tomorrow.
Were you heated up?
I was just like, what the hell is this? I just thought he was senile. And I was like, man, I guess I'm about to run back by there tomorrow.
So you went.
But no, we left. Here's
the old man did. Hey, we lost him.
He wasn't there. He got the last laugh.
He's now up in heaven.
I would have pushed my luck. It was the last day we were there. But then I thought, this old man probably got a gun. Not worth it.
I want to go back. I want to meet this old man.
Oh, dude, he's freaking crazy. And my father-in-law said he's heard him across the lake yelling before.
Yeah.
Like,
he's just one of those crazy neighbors.
Crazy neighbors that you just got to watch out for. It was just like, what in the world? And I mean, I'm like, there were people on this path after me, and you yelled at them. He goes, well, some of them.
Isn't that crazy when you see people so pissed off about something? Anything. And you see them red and like furious. Like, that's crazy.
But I love the emotions that he experienced. You don't experience that. I haven't experienced that kind of an emotion in 10 years.
You never seen anyone yell like that?
Well, I've never yelled like face to face with somebody. That'd be awesome. Like, you know, like at the grocery store or something, like, F*** you, man. F*** you, you almost hit my wife, you mother F***.
fuck it.
I mean, he was that mad.
You don't want to be that dude.
No, but I'm saying
no,
he
don't.
Got to experience that.
And I think old people, I really think.
They've given up.
They just know that they have nothing to look forward to but death, and so they're grumpy. Like, he knows he's on the last few, you know, cycles around.
No, he's been grumpy his whole life. Now there's just no filter.
Oh, I thought it was just he has nothing to look forward to.
You can't be a happy guy your whole life, and then when you're 80, you just start getting yelling at people.
I thought he was just grumpy because he knew he's about to die. And it's just like, man, what the hell?
If he's still doing tulips, he ain't about to die. He's got another.
No, he doesn't think he's going to die, but, I mean, the way he moved.
If he's outside doing that, he still has some years left.
That's true, maybe. But, God, it was just so weird, and I just never – and he was mad because I didn't slow down, that I was running too fast on the trail, I guess.
You were. Coach, you must have been hauling ass.
Coach, did you ever think about hitting him?
When he swung that shovel at me, I thought about pushing. Like, what the hell?
No, hitting him, clocking him.
Well, what's crazy?
Haymaker.
Here's the crazy part. His grandkids were out there with him. Like, I'm talking, they were like 8, 7, and 5.
Oh, Coach, you left a great example for them, your own kids, and your father.
No, him. He's the one that did it, not me.
That's a great story, Coach.
You know how the kids are going to remember it? You were the crazy person.
Mm-hmm.
You know how your wife told him? You were the crazy person.
That's just Dad. He loses it sometimes.
Oh, it was bad, man. It was bad. All right.
Bill, I need your help. Bill!
Hey, guys, just let it go, guys. Let it go.
Two grown men on a lake with not a worry in the world fighting with each other.
Dude, it was the most beautiful day. It was 62 degrees. I'm out for a run, you know, just trying to get 5 miles in real quick up in the mountains and the freaking beautiful trees around this beautiful lake with, I mean, just a nice, cool breeze. And this dude comes at me with a shovel and his damn dog.
I remember this guy when we were kids, teenagers. This guy wanted to kick me and my brother's ass. Like, this dude wanted to fight us so bad. We were new to this town, and they didn't like us, and they wanted to fight us. And there was this one dude we had just met. Like, he lived in the area. He thought we were cool, so he hung out with us. And it was me, my brother, and this dude. And this guy was just wasted in the back seat in the car, just chilling, drinking. And this dude goes, these guys want to fight us. And the guy in the backseat never changed the words. He kept saying, hey, it's all a bunch of hot air, guys. Let it go. It's all a bunch of hot air.
That's what Bill was saying.
I love the dudes that break it up, but they're not getting in the way. They just want to yell at the fighters and be like, hey, just a bunch of hot air, man. Let it go.
I want that to happen to me in the next couple months.
No,
what?
You don't.
You want to fight?
No, not. I've never fought.
You want someone to yell at you, or you want to yell at someone?
No, but I want to be some confrontation where somebody yells at me, I yell at them. Dude, that must have been an amazing.
That's not your style.
But it's not. But you know how his adrenaline that he felt is more than some people feel their entire life.
I mean,
that was
pretty
a moment in your life,
hey,
right there.
Do you
dude.
Remember the guy when we went to that party and he was like, I don't give a what you drink?
I remember exactly.
Like that I admired, because this dude, we go to a party and
I've heard this.
And he's like, hey man, hey.
This guy goes, hey, you guys want fireball shots? And he's a stranger. I don't know the dude, but he's at the party.
And he's trying to be Mr. Fun Guy.
He's standing right next to us. So I'm assuming, let me involve him in this conversation. I go, dude, should I drink the fireball shot? And the guy looks at me and goes, I don't give a what you do. And I was like, wow, no one has ever said that to me in my life.
Coach, he served your ass.
And I'm thinking,
oh man, and Eddie was just like,
dude, I would have moved out of Nashville.
I'm thinking that's
got
to be a cool feeling to just, you can say whatever you want to someone. Like there's no politeness, nothing other than, I don't give a what you do.
How long did it take you to recover after that one, Coach?
Like, Coach, what did I do? I looked there stunned for 5 minutes.
Oh, he just sat there and he goes, dude, did you hear what he...
And then finally I was like, hey, man, respect. This dude just says what he wants.
It was pretty intense. It was a pretty epic moment.
Hey, man, do you care about... You think I should take this fireball? Dude, I don't give up what you do.
And I go, okay, all right.
Coach, even me in the moment, I'd have been like, yeah, dude, take it.
Right.
Dude, this guy just stopped you dead.
I mean, he was just like... You know, most people at a party are encouraging you to do stupid things.
That's what I was thinking.
Everybody's in the same mindset.
This guy wants to be part of our conversation. Let me invite him in.
And he just goes, I don't give a what you do. like dead, hey, like didn't care.
Hey, so ever since that happened, the way you're saying, like, I'd like to do that someday, I'd like to do that someday.
And
like literally tell someone in the middle of a story, dude, I don't give up about your story.
It's sort of like we were in Vegas. We were in Vegas.
For my bachelor party?
No. That Eddie wasn't there that time. So Eddie was there this time.
Okay, all right.
And we kept saying, oh, MF for this, MF for that.
Oh, yeah.
And this guy looks at it and goes, I'm going to give you one more MF-er.
And I was like, you got it. And it was one of those things, I never say MF-er.
But at the tables?
It was at a table. And I was drinking whiskey that night. And I guess when I drink whiskey, yeah, I like to say MF-er.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you got this, mub. Hey, mub, you got this. Like, hey, you want another beer, mub? And I kept saying it over and over. And the guy goes, I'm going to give you one more chance to call me mother. And then that's it. I'm kicking your ass.
Dang, Coach, you get people that totally end your night with one word or
sentence. Those are all music industry people.
Oh, my gosh.
Cutthroat.
Oh, bad. Coachers, I know it's late, but I turned 41 on Saturday the 29th.
Happy birthday,
Coach. We'll get you next year for 42.
Hey, the biggest mistake, you send Lunchbox an email.
Yeah, I would like a shout-out on the little show, but it's really the only show for me. Looking forward to the shotgunning some seltzers this weekend and regretting it Monday morning. Thanks for all you do by keeping us entertained throughout the week. Happy Memorial Day to all the service members past and present.
That's right.
Salute. Suanne Mestis.
All right, Suanne. Happy birthday.
Respect.
Yeah, so we're a little late on that, but yeah.
All right, we done?
We're done, man.
If you want it on time, get me on Cameo.
No, sorry. It's hard.
Didn't somebody send one early, like a shout-out in 5 months?
Yeah, someone asked me for one in July or something.
Smart. That's what they need to be doing.
I mean, listen, it's hard. And I didn't know. Maybe we can talk about this off, but I was like, do we have to stop birthday shout-outs? I mean, they're hard.
Oh, I like it.
It's hard, man. We get a lot of them. We are thesorelosers@gmail.com. You can always give us your feedback.
You're doing a great job, Coach.
I know.
Keep it up.
And someone said they wanted a shout-out, but I don't know where it was. And they're like, if you forget, I'm going to hit up Ray because he'll get it done. I don't know where
that's
that was.
That's true.
I told somebody that we were top 20 podcast in all of podcasts, or is it on iHeart?
I don't
know. Are we?
I told somebody that at the pool.
Just lying?
What'd they say?
Because I believe that we are top 20.
Right now?
Yeah.
Shut up.
So...
I'm going to look up.
Maybe use that one if somebody asks you guys what you guys do.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, there you go.
Top 20 podcast in America.
Have a great Wednesday, everybody. Appreciate it.
Goodbye, everyone.
Rodgers.
I hate that guy.
Dude, he's going to the Titans.
He's never.
No, Julio Jones.
Julio better be. That's the first jersey I'm getting.
You do not want Julio Jones.
Why not?
God.
Why wouldn't we?
You want him on the Cowboys?
Yeah. Hell yeah, I'd take him on the cover. We don't need a receiver.
He's 32 years old and past his prime, guys. But
Julio Jones.
But you're paying him a lot of money.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the problem. And he's injured. He gets hurt a lot.
Titans need him.
Titans need some defense.